Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We have breaking news for the Savage Nation that is perhaps as bad as it gets. Man's inhumanity to man, probably not as expressed like this since Hitler. ISIS has burned a Jordanian pilot alive. That's right. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What a sad day it is for the human race. Man's inhumanity to man. ISIS took that poor Jordanian pilot, put him in a cage, and burnt him alive. And the best that our president could say is our thoughts and prayers continue to be with Lieutenant Kasabi and the Jordanian people. Now, you know, I thought about this on a bicycle ride before the show, because this is getting more depressing by the day to think that we have such a weak president that he would permit them to rage like this across the Middle East in a blitzkrieg with very little other than a little wrist slapping through our F-16s and a few missiles here and there. And you ask yourself, how long can this go on? How long can this go on? Is this Hitler taking the Sudetenland? Is this Hitler taking the Rhineland? Or is this ISIS wanting to take the entire world and convert it to Muhammad's vision? Islamic State jihadists released a video today showing a Jordanian pilot being burned alive. Air Force First Lieutenant Mu'ath al-Kasaba was kidnapped by the militants after his jet fighter crashed December 26th near their stronghold city of Raqqa in Syria during a bombing run. In the 22-minute video from Islamic State's Al-Furqan Media, the pilot is seen with a black eye and later being burned alive as he stands in a cage, NBC News reported. His death would mark a failed bid for a prisoner exchange for a female monster suicide bomber held in Jordan. Now, I ask you a question. What should the United States do? You know, we understand that you can't kill everyone on Earth in order to get at the bad guys. However, there will come a time when a decision is going to have to be made that is a Hobson's choice. I'll remind you of what Harry Truman had to decide in World War II. The American people were exhausted from a war against Germany and a war against Japan. They had defeated Germany, but the war in the Pacific raged on. And the American military calculated that it would take 1 million men, American men, would die in a land invasion of the main island of Japan in order to conquer the Japanese, who would not give up. They would not surrender, even though their air force had been decimated, their navy had been decimated. They were not going to give up. In fact, the Japanese had issued bamboo knives. They told every resident, old women even, were taught to make knives out of bamboo sticks. And they said that when the Americans come, even the old women would be required to kill Americans. So Truman knew that it would cost the 1 million American lives to conquer Japan. And you know what he decided? Better them than us. And when he was told that if we drop our experimental weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of innocent men, women, and children would die in Japan, he said, that's horrible, that's tragic, but better them than us. That's what Truman decided. Now we come forward in a world where there is moral equivalency, not only in the universities, but of course in the embodiment of the academic running America, a man who spends all of his viciousness attacking Republicans and the American people themselves rather than ISIS. And so I ask you, what would you do? And the more I think about burning a man alive, the sicker I get. Even Hitler wouldn't show what he was doing. So ask yourself, who was worse, Hitler or the Islamofascists? Even Hitler would not show what he was doing to people in the concentration camps. He hid it. So why are these monsters showing it? Well, the reason they're showing it is to induce terror in the world's population. What they're doing right now is what their ancestors or their antecedents did in the 6th century when Islam first blew up out of Mecca and almost conquered a good portion of the Middle East. They did it through burning, killing, raping, burning libraries. That's how they did it then. The good old-fashioned way. The good old-fashioned way that the Mongols had used prior to them. We have the weapons to stop them, but we don't have the leadership to stop them. We have young men in F-16s who could take them off the map in 72 hours. But we have a woman running the Air Force who's never flown a Piper Cub, who answers directly to the sorority that runs America. And you know, I thought more about this on my bicycle ride before today's program. Not only about burning a man alive in a cage for all the world to see, and the world doing nothing. The world so apathetic that it focuses instead on the laugh-a-thons on television, the perversion in the movies. And no one rises up in the country and say, enough is enough, do something, stop them before they kill all of us. No, they do nothing. Instead, they attack the Tea Party. Here in America, the domestic fifth column, I'll give you an example. The domestic fifth column considered to be, let us say, Code Pink. I'm going to give you an example. Code Pink are a group of women troublemakers whose leadership met in Iran with Holocaust deniers. Put a headscarf on. Now, here's a leftist woman who goes to Iran at a Holocaust-denying conference, and a feminist who puts on a headscarf to comply with the monsters in Iran. That's the enemy within. That's the fifth column, one example of them. But she represents an awful lot of others, like all of those on MSNBC, doesn't she? And you know what formula occurred to me on my bicycle ride today before the show? Tell me if I'm wrong. The Holocaust deniers are the ISIS deniers. I said, my God, it's like a bulb went off in my head. The very same leftists and Islamists who deny the Holocaust deny ISIS's monstrosities. The Holocaust deniers are now the ISIS deniers. Am I wrong or am I right? Start calculating things from that perspective and tell me if I'm wrong or I'm right. Watch the laugh-a-thons tonight on television. Watch all of the government jesters. Watch Bill Maher, government jester. Watch Colbert, government jester. Watch that other guy whose name I always forget. I don't know what it is. Government jester. Watch them cover up for Obama. Watch them spend more time attacking Republicans, conservatives, Tea Party members, and the military, football players, everybody but ISIS. And ask yourself how we can win a war when we have so many enemies within. How is it possible to win this war? So that's the main topic on my mind. That's the main topic on my mind. ISIS took a pilot, put him in a cage, ran a line of gasoline to him in the cage, and then set him on fire while he was living. Jordanian pilot burned alive by ISIS, and Obama says virtually, well, what did Obama say? Didn't he say something?
Should, in fact, this video be authentic, it's just one more indication of the viciousness and barbarity of this organization. And it also just indicates the degree to which whatever ideology they're operating off of, it's bankrupt. We're here to talk about how to make people healthier and make their lives better.
He's talking about vaccines. Instead of vaccinating America against Islamofascism, he wants to come up with a story about measles and not tell you that the epidemic was started by the children he brought in by the trainload this summer. You notice what he just said, whatever organization is doing this. Did you catch that? He wouldn't even say Islamic State. You talk about propaganda and double talk. He wouldn't even say Islamic State jihadists burned the man alive. He said whatever organization, whatever failed ideology. It's astounding. The acronym ISIS is Islamic State. It's not the Buddhist state. It's not BISIS. It's not the Jewish state. It's not JISIS. It's not the Hindu state. It's not HISIS. Mr. President, wake the hell up! The people will only take so much. We are in danger. This goes well beyond Hitler in terms of the escalation of inhumanity to man. Do you understand this? Even Hitler's sadistic monsters hid what they were doing. While the Islamic chancellor were God, I can't say that. Where are the gays, damn it? ISIS hurls gay man from roof, crowd stones him to death after fall. Where's the gay movement? Why, they're attacking the Tea Party. They're attacking Republicans. They're attacking conservatives. ISIS hurls gay man from roof, crowd stones him to death after fall. ISIS burns Jordanian pilot alive. Where are all the loudmouth humanists on the left? Well, they're the Holocaust deniers, and now they're the ISIS deniers. So this is the news. What do you want me to do? Change it to a laugh-a-thon? Do you want me to talk about something other than the most horrendous story I've ever seen in my entire life? I mean, it was bad enough raping and killing and burying people alive, but I didn't actually see it. Well, now your friends, ISIS, took this captured pilot, put him in a cage, and set him on fire. What should America do when we have a Quisling in the White House? What should we do when we see with our own eyes? Anyone with an intelligence level above 90, an IQ above 90, knows that we have worse than a Quisling in the White House. Now, some would say he's a fellow traveler. I don't agree with that at all. I don't believe he's a sympathizer with Islamic terrorism at all. I think that he is a Quisling in another regard, which is if you put your head in the sand as to what is actually happening and say it's not happening, and if you refuse to connect it to Islamic terrorism, then what would you explain that as? How would you describe that? Well, you'd say he doesn't want to ignite a war against all of Islam, and you could say there's a reason for that, and there's a reasonable expectation that the academics running America are afraid to ignite a religious war. What they have to recognize is that the religious war has been ignited. It was ignited 1,000 years ago. It's just that this religious war is now reaching a higher temperature because the opposition has no opposition. You see, Obama caused the rise of ISIS, which, again, you don't want to hear. You say, oh, look, I don't want to hear the Obama bashing. Well, don't hear it. Go talk about a deflated football, you idiot. Moron, you. Put your hat on backwards, idiot. Obama caused this. He was warned by the military not to remove all American troops from Iraq. Was he not? Was he not told to keep a force of 100,000 there to prevent this from happening? And what did he do? He gave them the middle finger. He said, screw you. I know more than you. I am Obama the Great. I know everything. I know better than doctors about medical care. I know better than the military about military. I know everything about climate. I'm an expert on everything. I'm Obama the Great. And so he pulled all American troops out of Iraq, and he created a vacuum. And what happened was the Iraqi army fled, and they left our tanks, our wonderful Abrams tanks, and other heavy weapons in the hands of ISIS. In fact, they probably joined ISIS by now, since they know how to use them. And as a result of this, we have this monstrosity of Islamofascism flaring out of control in a blitzkrieg, now burning a Jordanian pilot alive. And that, my friends, is the news of the day, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
And our thoughts and prayers continue to be with the family of Lieutenant Kasasbe and with the Jordanian people. The Jordanians have been stalwart members of this broader international coalition.
Shut up! Crawl into a hole, you moron, you! That's the best the American government could say. They bring out this idiot. This moron Ernest. Our thoughts and prayers continue to be with Lieutenant Kasasbe and the Jordanian people? Do you realize what I'm trying to say to you? Do you realize what I'm saying to you? We have a vicious, pedantic, academic cadre running America. Three words, vicious, pedantic, academic cadre. Four words. Look them up. A vicious, pedantic, academic cadre running America. Technocrats without any emotion, except hatred for their political enemies. And they do not consider ISIS their political enemy. They don't even care about it. It's nothing to them. Their only thought is from the point of view of a community organizer, which is to fight the opposition party domestically. There is no such thing as a foreign power to them. The only foreign power is the Republican Party. Holocaust deniers are now the ISIS deniers. ISIS burns Jordanian pilot alive. And this idiot, Ernest, gets up and says our thoughts and prayers continue to be with Lieutenant Casabea and the Jordanian people? Can you believe this? I was lying on the rug with my dog trying to find some comfort in something on the planet when I saw this story this morning. I started to play with my dog, and he smiled, and I thought, and I said to him, I said, Teddy, I said, you know, animals don't do this to other animals. The human animal is the most vicious animal on the planet. Now take a vicious animal and give him a religion to cloak himself in, and what you have is ISIS. Just as Hitler took the German people and washed their brains and cloaked them in his twisted, insane ideology of Nazism, National Socialism, this is what's going on now. Man's inhumanity to man. I remember when I was a little boy, I'm trying to put this together for myself as much as for you. Don't think this is something I wrote out for you before the show. As a little kid, 6 years old, I would watch movies with my father up in the mountains during the summer. They'd bring in movies in the casino, so-called, for the kids. Imagine that, no TV or whatever. And there was a show called, a movie called Bring 'Em Back Alive with Frank Buck. I loved that one. He would go to the jungles of Africa with his pith helmet and bring back animals for the zoos. And my father would sit and tell me things. And one of the things he would say about animals when I would see a tiger that looked ferocious to me or a lion, he would say, well, they're not really vicious. They just hunt. He said, man is a more vicious animal than any animal on earth. And as a little boy, I didn't quite understand what that meant. Do you understand what that means now? Do you get what that means now? Do you understand what my deceased father was saying to the little boy, Michael Savage? That man is more vicious than any animal on earth? Because he said to me, only man kills for pleasure. Only man kills for sport. And some men kill for religion. Oh, don't deny that. They're not called... The group isn't called Crisis. They're not a Christian group. The group is not called Bisis. They're not a Buddhist group. The group is not called Hisis. They're not a Hindu group. No, it's the Islamic State, burnt a Jordanian pilot alive in a cage without any anesthesia. Not one word from the humanitarians on the left. The Holocaust deniers and the ISIS deniers are now one and the same. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
What a day for humanity. ISIS burns Jordanian pilot alive for all the world to see. Not one word from any of the candidates for the presidency, except I heard one, and it's a guy I have no respect for, this guy Lindsey Graham. I think he's a snake. But at least Lindsey Graham, now that he's pretending that he's a leader, comes out and says something against radical Islam. Obama, no religion, no Islam. We don't know who did it. We don't know why they did it. Mistaken identity. Don't know who they are. They're the masked men. We don't know who they belong to. Strange men, no religion. Now, anyone running for the presidency, every one of them should have given a news conference today saying something about man's inhumanity to man. The vicious, pedantic academic running America says nothing. He's talking about measles, pretending that the measles epidemic that's surging in America came out of the air, that it's a result of spontaneous combustion, when in fact he combusted the measles epidemic by bringing in at least 100,000 infected people, not all with measles, of course, some with a flu that we had no resistance to, some with TB that had been wiped out, that's now resurging in Massachusetts. And some with measles, because as you know, measles is endemic in Mexico and Central America, as is this flu virus. But no, he's talking about measles and get a vaccine. That's the answer. He opens up the door to the infected and tells you to go get the vaccine. Why didn't he vaccinate them in Honduras before he brought them in? Why didn't he send that moron from the CDC down to Honduras to see if they were healthy enough to be brought in by the trainload this summer before he dumped them on our cities? And put them in our schools. Everything that these vicious, pedantic academics do is wrong. And it will lead to a greater disaster than you could ever imagine, unless the opposition increases its voice. Remember something. My job in the media is to remain an opponent of a government that is not doing the bidding of the people. My job as a voice in the media, I want to remind you, is to remain a strong opponent of policies which I feel endanger the American people. Do you understand that's my job? Do you understand that's the job of the media? We're supposed to be a thorn in the side of the government. Do you understand that? That we become a mouthpiece for the government, as Fareed Zakaria was the other day, permitting Obama to get away with one gigantic lie after another without stopping him. Then they are, in essence, Pravda or Izvestia. And you know how that ended, right? You know where that went. So, I can give you the phone number, but you're as fired up as I am on so many different topics. And again, I don't know what they are. Unprotected talk, name, station, topic. The big story to me is this one, because I don't know how to talk about anything else today. I don't know how to talk about anything else. I don't know what to say anymore. ISIS burns a Jordanian pilot alive. ISIS hurls gay man from roof. Crowd stones him to death after fall. Not one word from the American left so concerned about humane issues. Not one word from the gay movement. Not one word from anybody. A dead world. A world of zombies. A world of vampires. No wonder these vampire movies are popular in America. No wonder every channel I click is a vampire or a zombie. Because the American people are zombies and vampires. They don't care. The average man says, why do I care what they do to each other? Let them all kill each other. No, you think I don't know? Go stop the average man walking in Manhattan today with a microphone and a camera and say, sir, excuse me, we've just heard that the ISIS, the Islamic State, has burnt a pilot alive in a cage. Do you have any comments? Yeah, don't bother me. I'm in the garment center. I got business. I don't care. Nothing to do with me. Let them all go to hell. I really don't mind. It doesn't bother me. Stop the next woman. Madam, how do you feel about them throwing, the ISIS throwing a gay man from a roof? And the Muslims around a crowd stoned him to death after he was thrown off the roof. Don't bother me. That's their problem. It's a civil war. What do you want, to drag us into another world war? We like our president. He's smart. He's smart. He knows what he's doing. He's keeping us out of that mess. Okay, now get out of my way. What, do you remember the Tea Party? You think I don't know the thought of the average person? You think I'm that disconnected from the average American? See, they're the good Germans of today. That lady and that man I just mentioned are the Germans who smell the smoke of burning flesh in Auschwitz and Dachau, and they said they didn't smell the burning flesh. Ah, don't bother me, please. There's nothing like that going on in the ovens. Go away. What do you work for, the Jews? That's what the good Germans said. They didn't know there was a Holocaust. They didn't know there was a concentration camp. Don't bother them. They went about their business. They made the strudel. They had the white tablecloth. They put the girl in a communion dress. They brushed her teeth in the morning. They sent her to church. They didn't want to be bothered with the smell of human flesh a mile down the road in Dachau or Auschwitz any more than the man working in the garment center or the woman on the Upper East Side stepping into a limo or an Uber. Nah, don't bother her. She's the good American of today. Does my analogy work for you or not? Does that ring true? No, not neither, because you didn't hear it read it in the New York Times. Okay, unprotected talk, name, station, topic when I call your name. It's that simple. Line number 5, you're first up today on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, this is Stephanie from KSFO, and I called you yesterday and I asked you, who did you want to run for president? And
Well, you can't call me today, that's all. I'm not taking the same. See, this is the problem with unprotected talk. We get the same ones with the dead voices. I don't want it anymore. If you're a regular, I'm not going to take you. I'm going to hang up on you. How's that? I heard it before. I don't want to hear the same. You're probably working for somebody. I'll try the next one. Okay? Line 9, go ahead, please. Give it a shot. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, it's Doug, WMAL, Washington.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Savage, I think you're absolutely right about your average liberal. The conservatives are the enemy, and they don't really care about all this other stuff going on. It's sad, but it's true, and I think it gives Obama all the cover he needs to do all the crazy things that he's doing.
That says it like it is. That's right. He can get away with anything. He can walk on water.
I'm sorry?
Obama can walk on water. Just ask the average liberal.
Do no wrong in these people's eyes. But, you know, nothing.
Well, let me explain how this ends. Let me say where this goes, in case you don't know it. The Daily Telegraph out of London had an article today. Venezuela's socialist paradise turns into a nightmare. Medical shortages claim lives as oil price collapses. Now, Venezuela was a socialist paradise along the lines of what Obama's trying to do here. this vicious academic president of ours had the audacity to introduce a budget that would put taxes to the moon and blow up the deficit out of control, saying we don't care about a deficit. We're ending the sequester. We want to spend more money. This is exactly the policy of the Venezuelan dictator who died recently. You know who his name was? Remember Chavez? Remember Chavez's socialist paradise? Do you know where it is today in Venezuela? Empty shelves and wishful thinking. There's no food. Nothing on the shelves. In Venezuela, the country with the largest oil reserves, you have to line up for the right to wipe your behind, said a taxi driver who declined to give his name. For Nicolas Maduro, the president, the former bus driver who Chavez designated as his successor and who won a disputed election in 2013. You hear that one? Disputed election in 2013? Does that ring a bell? American operatives went down there and made sure he won. The response to the crisis has been a mixture of denial, wishful thinking, and angry denunciations of international capitalism waging an economic war in Venezuela. That was his party. Does that sound familiar? Obama's denunciations of the rich and, frankly, of capitalism itself. But it seems in Venezuela, his ratings are now at 20% in Maduro's. It seems a growing number of Venezuelans no longer believe his claims that outsiders are always to blame. See, now Obama continues to blame outsiders. Doesn't he always blame Republicans and the Tea Party for everything? Right? If only those mean rich, if those mean Republicans, those mean Tea Party, if only they would stop, we'd have a socialist paradise under the Fuhrer. Now look how it worked out in Venezuela. People finally woke up. Inflation is running at nearly 100% in Venezuela. 100% inflation. You think you have no inflation here? What, you believe the government's numbers? Are you crazy? Oh, inflation's much higher than you might think it is. And there's no potatoes. Can't get any potatoes down there. So eating yucca, maybe that's good. Maybe you want yucca. There's no medicine in the pharmacies. No medicine in the pharmacies at all. No this, no that. There are 700 people on the cardiac waiting list at a doctor. No gauze, no sample tubes, no syringes. They have no money in Venezuela because that's the socialist paradise. How many times have I told you when I started this show years ago, do you remember the long lines in the ex-Soviet Union of people waiting online for a single salami hanging in a butcher shop? And the morons who go to college in America today, the idiot brainwashed morons who think that everything is about global warming and gay rights and gay marriage, they have no idea what is going on around them. Why was there only one salami in the butcher shop? Why couldn't the leadership of Russia make more salamis? Well, that's not how the world works. They don't actually make sausages. The government doesn't make anything. It's people who take the chance to make the sausage, to buy the meat. Then you go back, well, it's the people who raise the hogs, and then the people who make the hog meat into sausages, who take a chance through capitalism that their investment will pay off for a profit that make the system work. But when you have a vicious academic socialist running a country, you wind up with a collapsed society, as in the ex-Soviet Union, as in Venezuela, as anywhere else socialism has been tried. And yet in America, oh, yeah, the answer is socialism. Just turn on the snickering crowd, the snide losers on MSNBC. Just turn on the government jesters, the millionaires who run around Beverly Hills stoned out of their mind, who tell you that it's the rich who have to pay, like they're the poor. They get away with it. Why not? Look what any dictatorship can get away with if you own the media. So I'll take some calls. That's all. Let's see what you have to say about all of this. Line number four, go ahead, please. What's on the agenda?
Uncle Mike, my name is Louie, calling for 50,000 watts WABC.
There's a man who knows what he's talking about. 50,000 watts. That's a musical statement to me. So what's on your mind?
That's all, Mike. Listen, yeah. I, like you, love animals, and I wouldn't do anything to harm them. And I was doing research, and I seen these people in India. They burnt a tiger alive in a cage. And the thing about this, Mike, it's so cool that after the flames go down, Michael, I want the audience in America to notice.
Wait. You're confusing things. Who burnt a tiger alive in a cage?
These Indian villagers. They're in India. They still have...
Wait, but we're talking about the Islamic State burning a human being alive today in a cage.
Exactly, Mike. That's my point. I'm saying that when they burn them alive, it doesn't die right away. After the flames go down, they're still alive breathing. And the inhumanity about this, I just want to make the Middle East sand and fire equals glass. That's all.
But wait, why would Indians burn a tiger alive? What was that about? Hello? Okay, sand and glass. It sounds like that's what he's been drinking. The guy may be eating sand and glass sandwiches. I don't understand the combination here, but okay. Different strokes. Man's inhumanity, the man was I was talking about. And the blitzkrieg of ISIS goes on, and the president has nothing to say other than this. Robert, before we take a break, play what our great pedantic academic leader had to say when he learned that a Jordanian pilot had been burnt alive by ISIS. Listen to this.
Should, in fact, this video be authentic? It's just one more indication
of
the viciousness and barbarity of this organization. And it also just indicates the degree to which whatever ideology they're operating off of
is
bankrupt. We're here to talk about how to make people healthier and make their lives better. And this organization appears only interested in death and destruction.
Whatever this organization, now it has it doesn't even have an acronym. The new word out of the great master is that it's not even ISIS because it's uncomfortable that he has to say ISIS because he would say, what does I stand for? Islam. No good. So there's now this organization. You hear, whatever this ideology is, he doesn't know that it's based on the Quran. That's what they quote, for God's sakes. What do you want me to do? Reinvent history for you? Okay, well, most people in the media do reinvent history. Just remember the main thing that I gave you today, and just put this formula together. I've had several statements that I think will stand in your mind. One is liberalism is a mental disorder. Yesterday, I taught you what the Red Guards and Red Brigades were on the Mao Zedong and who the Red Guards and Red Brigades are in America. The news media, the government jesters like Bill Maher and the others are the Red Brigades who ridicule and debase our culture while pretending that they are the culture. And now we have the vicious, pedantic academics around Obama saying that ISIS is not even Islamic, it's an organization. And first he starts by saying, if the video turns out to be true, can you believe a president would say a thing like this? It's astounding to me. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So the vicious, pedantic academic regime goes marching along with its head in the sand, saving its vitriol not for those who burn people alive, throw homosexuals from roofs. Now the ISIS members marched into a Syrian town and demanded that all crosses be removed from the churches or the buildings will be completely destroyed, according to the Assyrian Patriotic Party. Now it's called ISIS, isn't it? The Islamic State, isn't it? Yet Obama says whatever this organization is now. Because if he were to say ISIS, you'd say, well, what does ISIS stand for? Even the dummy rushing to the garment center might by now put two and two together and say, ISIS? That's Islam. No, it's Islam. Now let's call it an organization. It's ISIS, though, isn't it? It's not ISIS because it's not a Christian terror group. It's not JISIS because it's not a Jewish terror group. It's not BISIS because it's not a Buddhist terror group. It's not ISIS because it's not a Hindu terror group. It's ISIS because it's an Islamic terror group. So the president now, to cover it up, says, oh, no, no. He said, whatever this organization is, now it's an organization. And whatever failed ideology they're following, like he doesn't know what ideology they're following, it's in their holy book. Read the sutras. I didn't write them. And I don't mean the Kama Sutras. You could read the Kama Sutras if you want and continue to indulge yourself in sexuality as the ultimate outlet, and then you'll find out why Western civilization is dead and dying and destroyed. Bring it all down, girl. Why not do it in the road? Well, here we are. Here we are. That's why you shouldn't do it in the road.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. The Islamo-Nazis or the Islamo-Fascists are all over the world. They're in our country with lone wolf attacks coming out of Central Command. And most Americans have their head in the sand. Welcome to the program. The conscious world is shocked today to see a man set alive inside a cage by ISIS, the Islamic State. The same who deny the Holocaust, deny ISIS's monstrosities. And the president himself denies that they're related to Islam. I say, well, why do you keep harping on Islam, 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 Islam? Am I the only one saying what needs to be said? Even Lindsey Graham, who I consider to be a forked-tongued politician of a certain type, said the right thing today in clip 25. Listen to this.
Here's what I really do have a problem with. Our president will not call this radical Islam. You know, before World War II, people believed that they just gave Hitler one more country or a German-speaking portion of a country, he would be fine. They never really understood that Hitler wanted a master race. His goal was not to take parts of the Sudetenland or the Rhineland, but dominate the world with an Aryan race, and others would just suffer and the Jews would be destroyed. The radical Islamists are motivated by a religious doctrine that has no place for your eye.
Lindsey Graham is 100% right. He's the only one running for office who has the presence of mind and the courage to speak about this. Not a word from any of the others on any side. Of course, Hillary is silent for obvious reasons. You know that she's not qualified at any speed to be anything other than a politician. She's not qualified to lead this country. But you'd think the Republicans would stand up about a man being set alive, wouldn't you? And then the president himself shocked today when he got up after he learned that a man had been set alive, a video has been sent out. He says the following, before you play it. Listen carefully to what this academic pedantic leader of ours has to say. He says, hey, if the video is true, whatever this organization is, failed ideology, he does not once say it's ISIS, because if you say ISIS, it means Islamic State. Says now it's an organization. Then if you say failed ideology, you don't have to say Islam. Listen to the double talk coming out of the dear leader.
Should, in fact, this video be authentic, it's just one more indication of the viciousness and barbarity of this organization. And it also just indicates the degree to which whatever ideology they're operating off of, it's bankrupt. We're here to talk about how to make people healthier. And
right, so now he shifts them now down to measles to panic you into vaccinations. Instead of vaccinating the world against radical Islam, he wants to vaccinate you against the measles that he brought into the country through his surge this summer, the surge of illegal alien children, many of whom had viruses such as measles, the flu, bacterium that give us tuberculosis. That's what he did. But we're focusing instead today on man's inhumanity to man. And again, I want to remind you that it's ISIS, not crisis, not Jisis, not Bisis, nor Hisis. And there's a reason I say this, is because they are at war with us. So in other words, you say, well, we're not at war with them. Well, who are you at war with then? What were these wars in Iraq and Afghanistan about? Now, the American left, the illegitimate psychotics on the American left, will say that we triggered this against us. Had we not invaded Iraq, George Bush again did it all, why they wouldn't be doing these nasty things like setting Muslims alive in a cage. Now, on the face of it, it doesn't make any sense to begin with. Anyone who knows anything about history knows that the radical Islamists have been at war with the world ever since the religion was created. This is how they originally conquered such a large swath of land. I've told you the story over and over again. It was through the fanatical belief in the holy book that they have. The fanatical belief in the holy book. And it's one of the most amazing stories of conquest in the whole history of the human race. They defeated the Byzantine army at the Battle of the Yarmouk. In 634, And then they went on. And then they went on and they conquered Syria, Damascus, Palmyra, Antioch, Jerusalem. All of these places fell without resistance to the Muslim terrorists. Large elements of the population converted to Islam. And then the Muslim hordes turned east. They turned on Persia. Remember, Iran of today was Persia, and it was not Muslim. And the Persians had a great general in Rustam. They had a great host with a force of big elephants. For 3 days, they fought the Arabs at Qadisiyah. And then they broke in the year 637, and they ran, and they fled. Persia was then conquered, and the Muslim empire pushed far into western Turkestan. And they pushed eastward until it met with the Chinese, who stopped them. Egypt fell with almost no resistance. They were not Muslim to the new conquerors. The new conquerors were filled with a fanatical belief in the sufficiency of the Quran. And what they did was they wiped out the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. I will bring your attention to a story out of Iraq. Iraqi libraries ransacked by Islamic State group in Mosul. So I'm now taking you from the 600s to the year 2015. And it's the same exact mentality. The Islamic State group militants invaded the Central Library of Mosul earlier this month, and they destroyed other people's ideas. The Muslim extremists smashed the locks that had protected the biggest repository of learning in the northern Iraq town. They loaded 2,000 books, including children's stories, poetry, philosophy, and books on sports, health, culture, and science, into 6 pickup trucks. They left only Islamic texts. The rest, these books promote infidelity and call for disobeying Allah, so they will be burned. A bearded Muslim militant in traditional Afghani two-piece clothing told residents, according to a man living nearby who spoke to the Associated Press. They have already destroyed many archaeological relics, deeming them pagan, and even Islamic sites considered idolatrous. Increasingly, books are being burned. Mosul, the biggest city in the Islamic State group's self-declared caliphate, boasts a relatively educated, diverse population that seeks to preserve its heritage sites and libraries. Did you know any of this? Oh, it didn't make it to the San Francisco Chronicle. They were busy talking about homophobia and gay marriage, I guess. Yeah. You see, the Holocaust deniers at the San Francisco Chronicle, those in the backyard of Nancy Pelosi, the Holocaust deniers are now the ISIS deniers, looking the other way. And so they destroy the Central Library's collection of Iraqi newspapers dating to the early 20th century, books and maps from the Ottoman Empire, book collections contributed by around 100 of Mosul's establishment families. Days after the Central Library's ransacking, militants then broke into the University of Mosul's library, and they made a bonfire out of hundreds of books on science and culture, destroying them in front of students. The last time we saw this was when Hitler's brown shirts burnt books in Germany, which they considered to be decadent literature. So I'm taking you from the 600s to the year 2015, and I'm showing you an arc that connects the early Islamic takeover in the early great days of the Arabs. When they conquered one country after the other, they burnt libraries, they killed, they burnt people alive, they raped, and that's how they conquered. They didn't conquer through ideas. They didn't conquer through better ideas. The stupidity of the American academic establishment overwhelms me. They think that if you give them the opposite idea, oh, let's give them the idea of democracy. If only they're educated, why, they'll all put down their swords and their matches, and they'll all happily want to run a camel burger stand in Mosul. Yeah, all the members of ISIS will throw down their AKs, and they'll beg for a job with a little cap selling camel burgers in Mosul. That's the liberal mentality. This is what we're facing. These are the people who are between us and these barbaric hordes that threaten to take over the whole world unless they are stopped at Munich, so to speak. You see, Hitler could have been stopped at Munich. Everyone knows Hitler could have been stopped in the early days. In fact, when Hitler invaded Poland, if you study history, he was shocked that France and England did nothing. In fact, his generals expected France and England to counter his invasion of Poland and stop him. But they did nothing. And because they did nothing, he clicked his heels, he ate his creamy, sugary pastries, and he invaded another country because there was no resistance. History is repeating itself in front of our eyes, only now they're not speaking German. And now they're not marching to the Horst Wessel song. No, they're speaking Arabic, and they're marching to a different drummer. And they're not reading Mein Kampf. They're reading a single book, and their architectural plan for world conquest is in that single book. And what do they have opposing them here in America? A vicious, pedantic academic administration that spends all of its vitriol attacking the Tea Party and attacking conservatives. That's what they have in opposition. And so it's not a good day for humanity. It's a bad day for humanity. Man's inhumanity to man is the topic that I am obsessed with, frankly. Although I'm open to others because I realize maybe you can't take anymore. Maybe you just can't take it anymore, right? Isn't there anything positive we can talk about? What's positive? Tell me what's positive. Tell me what we can talk about that's positive. Anyone have anything positive to say about anything anymore? In a world that's falling apart, the wheels are coming off America's cart. And I told you how it ends. Look at Venezuela. You'll see how this country ends. Here is a lunatic running the country called Barack Obama, who is doing in stages what Chavez did to Venezuela. He destroyed the middle class by what? Spending like a drunken lunatic socialist from Hawaii. Spending, spending, spending in order to buy the votes of the poor. But even Chavez didn't have the audacity to bring in tens of millions of illegal aliens who didn't even speak Spanish. Can you imagine if Chavez had said, I'll tell you what, I want to bring in 30 million Chinese who don't speak Spanish. Can you imagine what the people would have done in Venezuela? They would have rioted and burned the city down. We do nothing. Nothing. Zero. Whatever the great one wants. He walks on water and they applaud. Meanwhile, the socialist paradise that he promised in Venezuela turned into a nightmare. There are medical shortages. People are dying. The country is falling apart. That's the economic crisis confronting Venezuela, a socialist-run petrostate. And here in America, the very same policies that Chavez used are being used by Obama, which is buy off the poor through insane spending, tax the productive classes until they stop producing. You destroy the incentive for them to even invest in a sausage or for the farmer to buy feed to feed a pig or a cow. He said, why should I feed the cow if I'm not going to make a profit? This is how a society devolves. This is how a society collapses. Do you understand that? Now let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. When I call your number, please give us your name, your station, and your topic. Okay, line number 7, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is Joe from Staten Island, ABC. Michael, there's so much I want to talk about, and I know I don't have enough time to say the things I want. But since 9/11, I used to watch everything. Everything on YouTube, everything that I possibly could watch. And the amazing thing about it is that the majority of people have no clue. They really don't know what's going on. And this particular thing that's really bothering me and may make some people think that I'm a little off the wall, but I've been watching about Obama and Michelle, as a transgender and a homosexual, I've been watching that. Now, I know you spoke to...
I'm going to say, you are transgendered? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
I know you spoke to Alex Jones about it, and also...
Now you're confusing me. You're transgendered, and what does Alex Jones have to do with this now?
No, because he had mentioned that to you about... Michelle, and you know.
All right. So, what's your main point, my friend? Just tell me the main point.
Right.
What's your main point today?
If you prove that Michelle is a man.
Oh, come on! Now you're turning the whole thing into a sexual show. Do you think I really care about Obama's sexuality? Do you think that's an issue for me?
Right. Just let me make.
I won't even indulge this. You yourself are a transgender, so naturally sexuality is predominant in your mind. That's fine. That's your life. But we can't project it onto a national field and now apply that to the presidency and hope to get anywhere, can we?
Yeah, they should be. Because if they
can... No, let me ask you a question. Why is the gay movement saying nothing about ISIS throwing gays off the roofs? Tell me why.
Oh, they're sick. They're very sick people. You know, these are people that have only one purpose. They want to destroy. We all know that. Everybody knows that.
No. Who's sick? ISIS is sick? But I'm asking why the American gay communities are saying nothing.
Oh, because they protect themselves. You know, they'll do that. But
all right, so they're focused on their own issues.
Right. But I.
Okay, thank you for the call. I've got to run. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
I just want people to know the facts and the science and the information. And the fact is that a major success of our civilization is our ability to prevent diseases that in the past have devastated folks. And measles is preventable.
Go to nine. I want to hear the next one on the Savage.
I understand that there are families that in some cases are concerned about the effect of vaccinations. The science is, you know, pretty indisputable. We've looked at this again and again.
The words are pretty indisputable.
My children are vaccinated.
Okay, it's enough already. Yeah, pretty indisputable. Wealthy L.A. schools' vaccination rates, folks, are as low as that of South Sudan. Did you know that? Vaccination rates in elite neighborhoods like Santa Monica and Beverly Hills are so low that the incidence of whooping cough, known as pertussis, has skyrocketed. Parents in these schools are submitting a form called PBE, Personal Belief Exemption, which states they're not vaccinating their kids due to a diffuse constellation of unproven anxieties from allergies and asthma to eczema and seizures. In some schools, up to 60 to 70% of parents have filed these PBEs, indicating a vaccination rate as low as that of Chad or South Sudan. Now, why are these people not vaccinating their children? Well, that's a big topic, which we touched on before. But let's go back to why pertussis and measles have resurged in America. Why, that's the great man who walks on water himself again. He brought in the illegal aliens who are diseased, who are unvaccinated, setting off these epidemics. Now he's telling you to vaccinate your child because it's your fault.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, let's play a love song, Robert. Let's have some love instead of hate coming out of the Middle East. I mean, we need something positive here. The doo-wop world, dead. Dead in the water. It's an old sausage in a garbage can. I mean, look, we live in a world that's emerging. It's changing. We understand that. You can't live in the past. People still get up every day. They still look for a better job, look to make more money, drive a better car, get a better apartment, buy a house. Isn't that what everyone wants? They hope to fall in love. They hope to get married, some of them. That's what people do. And that's why life goes on. We have our holidays. Valentine's Day is coming up. Why do we have Valentine's Day in a world of such hate? Maybe it's a moment of peace and love for a few minutes aglow. It's like with people watching football. I didn't watch the game. And just remember that when the woman you love or the girl you love says, oh, don't get me anything for Valentine's Day, what she means is you better get me something for Valentine's Day. So, look, you know I love Shari's berries because I ate them once, and I don't even eat sweets. I went crazy for them. See, it's the good. The strawberry inside lets me eat the delicious chocolate. That's the whole point. It's like the yin and the yang. You bite into it and say, oh, God, I can't eat this chocolate. Meanwhile, but I got the strawberry. There's the good stuff, right? Well, now you find that chocolate's good for you, too. It's only $19.99. Can you believe this? If you go to berries.com and you click on the microphone and you type in my code SAVAGE, bingo. Dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness. I'm almost going to salivate right now. 40% off from Shari's Berries. But you need to get my code SAVAGE when you order. They're giant. They're romantic. They're juicy. They're fresh. Would you please understand what a buy this is? Go to berries.com, berries.com, or simply call 866-FRUIT-02. And then when you do that, if you like Michael Savage, then you're going to click on the microphone in the top right, and you're going to type in my name, Savage, and buy them through me. You understand why? You love the show? Support the show. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, enter my code, Savage. That's the whole story. Do it. She'll love you. You know what? How long do these berries last? A week? You're going to be lucky for a week. I'll be right back. Oh, no, it's not time for a break. And now let's go to regular programming, which is the vaccination story. It's becoming a big deal. Two top contenders for the Republican presidential nomination appeared to question whether child vaccination should be mandatory. First, Governor Christ, while visiting a vaccine lab, called for some measure of choice on whether shots guarding against measles and other diseases should be required for children. Then Senator Rand Paul, MD, an ophthalmologist who was also running a campaign, said in two U.S. television interviews that he thinks most vaccines should be voluntary. Paul's hey, what's wrong with me? Paul said the state doesn't own your children, praising vaccines for their health benefits, but insisting that the government should not mandate their use in most cases. He said parents own their children, and it is an issue of freedom and public health. Well, theoretically, that's true, Dr. Paul. However, when you have a raging epidemic, at a certain point, I believe perhaps vaccines might be required, especially in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Mexico. You know, before you rush them in, 35 million of them, make sure they're vaccinated first, Mr. Obama. You know, send down a couple of million doses along with Tommy Frieden and Anthony Fauci. Send them down there with their white coats and stethoscopes, which they always appear on the agitprop news with. Let them go down to Guatemala and line them up for vaccines. See how they're accepted when the gringos show up with the needles. See if the Obama's children coming in from these countries will take the vaccine. Then give us a lecture on the vaccination. Now let's get serious here. Let's stop the sarcasm. I have children. They were vaccinated. Now, not without, there were problems in one case, and I'm not going to go into details because it's too private. But the thing is, vaccines can cause phenomenally horrendous reactions in children. They can cause allergic reactions. No matter how well-intentioned they may be, and no matter how beneficial they may be for the society at large, they can kill, they can cause brain damage, they can cause convulsions, they can cause such high fevers that the child becomes sick from them. So, look, this is something that needs to be discussed, not just, you can't give a carte blanche statement that get the vaccines, that they're safe, because they're not 100% safe, and there's no guarantee with anything, especially with that. So this is a very big issue, and I'm going to say at this point that you're going to have to make that decision for yourself. This is a decision for parents to make. But when you see that the elites of the idiots of Hollywood and Beverly Hills think that their children don't need vaccines because what are they going to give them? An enema, coffee enema in the morning? That's going to do, put Johnny on a coffee enema after giving him a vegan diet, and he's going to resist pertussis, and you're not going to get pertussis because she gave him an enema in the morning and put him on a vegan diet. The kid looks like a skeleton with no brain power because he hasn't had a piece of chicken in his whole life. You put a child, you know, this is an interesting story. You just test this, all of you vegan people. Do it to yourself if you want. Don't do it to your children. Their brains develop at a much different rate than yours. They need meat. They need chicken. They need fish. They need cheese. They need milk. They need protein. They need it, idiots. Or else they'll wind up thinking like Gwyneth Paltrow. Or, God forbid, the boy could wind up like Sean Penn if you don't feed him. Is that what you want? You want a vegan child who winds up like Sean Penn who can't think or compose an entire sentence? That's what you want? Again, let's stop the jokes here, okay? Let's get serious. If you Google, I'm going to do it for you, vaccination dangers. Okay, let's just do a simple one together. I didn't spell it right. I've been doing it too fast during the show. Vaccination dangers. Well, you can find a lot of articles on that. Obama says the science is in, like with global warming. Well, it's not in. It's a silent epidemic to some people. There are devastating lifelong damage inflicted by some of these vaccines on some susceptible children. Some of them are lethal for some children. So go and research it and then decide what you want to do. But for God's sakes, invest some intelligence in this. I'll give you one example. Here's one that comes out of China. Groundbreaking study. Vaccines cause children more adverse reactions than any other drug. It's coming out of China. A groundbreaking new drug safety study in Shanghai, China, provides some much-needed information about the frequency of vaccine drug reactions among children. Okay? So there are adverse drug reactions in clinics in this country as well. ranging from mild skin rashes, deadly reactions like anaphylactic shock, death. So vaccines are the most commonly reported. And this is very important for you to know, and people are rightly worried about this. First, the children are dosed with drugs for diseases that don't even exist, like ADD, ADHD. And if they exist, according, let me say this. The British don't believe that these diseases exist to the extent that we in America accept they exist. And they don't drug their children as quickly in England as they do here. This is partly a result of the drug industry wanting to drug infants, because there's more money in it. It's that simple. So are there dangerous vaccine effects? Yes. But should you avoid vaccines? Well, I don't think so. It's, look, if you're a concerned parent, sure, there's a thing, but think twice about it. Do your investigation. There is an awful lot of reports of high fever, vomiting, and diarrhea. And it's from the vaccines. They give 8 shots at once. Each shot contains bacteria and viruses, in addition to toxic stabilizers and preservatives, such as thimerosal. Now, I don't know whether the mercury derivatives are still in the vaccines. I think that they removed them, but I'm not 100% certain. I believe they were removed, but I can't say with any 100 degree of certainty that they have all been removed. But remember this, your doctor will lie about vaccine reactions. The doctor will conspire with the drug companies to deceive you about the true cause of your child's life-threatening conditions. If the child has diarrhea and vomits, that's because the child's body is trying to expel the poisonous matter from her body. Not because she got a stomach bug at the hospital, as you will be told. Now there's some permanent damage, too. There is brain damage, physical, mental, autoimmune, and neurological. So look, it's not an easy answer here, and I'm not going to jump into it and say do this or do that. I'm sorry. Thankfully, my kids have grown up, so I don't have to worry about it. But in my own case, I won't take the flu vaccine. I won't take shingles vaccines. It's that simple. I'm going to trust these shysters with white coats who tell me, oh, take the flu vaccine. Why? That the same shyster at the CDC who says they're only effective in 30% of cases, but take it anyway? Why? Because the drug companies own the CDC and the NIH. That's why. Now I'm supposed to now be a guinea pig for them. No, thank you. Now, you know, let's go back in time. Why I'm not going to jump into the fray and say absolutely take the vaccine. Let me explain why there should be some choice involved in this. Here's the answer. Back in 94, when I started in radio, I created the Paul Revere Society soon thereafter, and I printed little Paul Revere Society card memberships. Some of you still have them. They're collector's items. And we're no longer really running the Paul Revere Society for reasons I can't tell you right now, although Paul Revere Society is giving out the scholarships to the college kids, but soon when that's gone. But nevertheless, in the beginning, when I created the Paul Revere Society, I created a little membership card, and there was a 12-point program of the Paul Revere Society, and it was about borders, language, culture. But one of the statements on the Paul Revere Society card was, we will not take a mandatory AIDS vaccine. Why did I say that in 94? Because I feared a future government, a fascistic government, that would tell everyone they had to be inoculated against AIDS. And I said, oh boy, watch out for that one. As you well know, they don't have an AIDS vaccine yet, but the day will come and it should be a choice. See, most of us absolutely have no fear of getting AIDS. Most people don't engage in the risky behavior required to contract a disease. It's very difficult to contract, by the way. It's not an easy disease to get it. We'd all have it. It's not spread casually. It's not spread easily. I mean, that's what the community that's suffering from it the most tells us. So if it's not spread easily and not casually, now why should the average person take the shot? Well, they shouldn't. So that's something on another, you know, a little different. But let's go back again to the measles issue. I know an awful lot about this, and I know its origins. And measles was more or less eradicated in America in the year 2000. And then along came cigar. Along came the big cigar from Arkansas. And the big cigar from Arkansas opened up the borders to Mexico. He started NAFTA, do you remember? Big Cigar wanted NAFTA. He wanted those old trucks to roll across the border from Mexico. He wanted us to ship our factories to Mexico. The Big Cigar wanted us to let in the millions of illegal aliens. Well, there was a lot of resistance to those things in those old days when America still had an opposition. But nevertheless, shortly after opening the borders with Mexico, the Big Cigar wouldn't tell you this, but the Big Cigar noticed, I'm sure he has, that there was a resurgence of measles in America because many of the folks from south of the border were just walking across, coming in, come right in. Not like your grandmother or grandfather at Ellis Island had to be investigated and inspected for a disease. No, that's kind of racist and old-fashioned. So the theory was, is let's not worry about diseases. Let's just get it over with. Let's do it. Let's move on. Bring in those trucks that no one could see what's inside of them. Ship the factory south. Whatever. Who cares? Who cares? It's money in the pockets of the Democrat machine. That's all we know. Ends votes. We don't care. And shortly thereafter, the Big Cigar opened the borders with Mexico. Measles started to resurge in America, boys and girls. Now, that was 15 years ago. That was in the old dark ages. Well, now let's speed up the clock, boys and girls. And it's the summer of the year 2014 when the great one, the man who could walk on water, the man above it all, suddenly decides with the stroke of a pen after another trip to Martha's Vineyard and a few golf games, you know what? Let's just flood America with a couple of 100,000 illiterate mothers and their children from Honduras. Let's create a fake story about a crisis happening down there and they have to come here. Just flood them in. Bring them by the train load. Well, many of them came in with EDV-68, the virus that is now causing viral illnesses in our schools, a flu that's caused deaths, yes, of children. And paralysis, yes, of children. Oh, yes, and it came from the children, from Obama's kids. And then some of them that were flown into Lynn, Massachusetts, for example, in the middle of the night because people didn't want them anyway. So they dumped them on a poor working-class town in Massachusetts. And lo and behold, the great one caused the resurgence of tuberculosis in Lynn, Massachusetts. But you wouldn't know that if you listened to the Red Guard on the networks. See, the Red Guard wouldn't tell you any of that. The Red Guard's job is to protect dear leader. Dear leader must be protected at all costs from the evil Tea Party, the evil right wing, the evil conservatives, the evil independents. The great one must be protected by the Red Guard on the networks and by the Red Guard in the newspapers who work overtime to put out only positive news about the great one, dear leader. And so they don't know where measles came from. And the stooges who work at the CDC and the NIH, they don't know why the measles epidemic has come back. They have no idea. They said it came from overseas. Overseas, over there. Oh, the Yanks are coming. I'm surprised they didn't break out in the vaudeville routine about overseas. What an antiquated, what a quaint word. It came from overseas. Well, no, the measles didn't come from overseas, actually, to be more specific. It came from south of the border. Overseas. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. Today's first 2 hours in the Savage Nation with an update on the ISIS Nazis burning the Jordanian pilot alive. The latest news is that Jordan is readying the execution of an unknown number of Muslim terrorist prisoners. They warned that if they killed him, they would execute the terrorists that they have in their jails. And the only answer for Jordan is to kill them. They have to fight fire with fire, and the day will come when they will have to use heavy weapons on them and risk the collateral damage. Because not until ISIS, their wives and children, are annihilated from the planet Earth, not until they're snuffed out like the Islamo-Nazis that they are, will the world be able to sleep again. Even Hitler hid the atrocities from the world. And yet, these practitioners of the religion of terror proudly display a man they set on fire with gasoline in a cage. Breaking news, Jordan said they're going to execute an unknown number of their fellow travelers.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Put your head in the sand. Talk about sports. Why don't you do it in the road? Welcome to The Savage Nation. Daily flogging will continue until the crew's morale improves. That's how navies used to be run, you know. The captain had a saying, daily flogging will continue until the crew's morale improves. Now, of course, the reverse is true under President Zero. Now the pedantic academic tells us there is no such thing as Islamic terrorism. That it's simply terrible that it's happening. That there's no such thing as ISIS. It's now an organization. It's gone from being ISIS to an organization. But it's not a laughing matter. It's not a matter for sarcasm. It's a matter of man's inhumanity to man, which strikes me as perhaps akin to that of the Nazis, which I've been saying for only 20 years, only perhaps worse. You see, they don't have death camps yet, but their viciousness is that equal to the Nazis, if not greater. The Nazis, I will remind you, hid their horrors from their own people and from the world, while these superb examples of humanity boast about sending people alive, burning them alive, raping the women. New ISIS video shows Jordanian pilot being burned alive. Not one word from the loudmouths on the left. Almost no word from any politician, by the way. But the 22-minute video, which Obama says doesn't know if it's real. That's the first thing he said, is if it's proven to be real. Well, the 22-minute video appears to be real because Jordan said it's authentic, but President Obama doesn't know. The pilot was burned alive. And the video shows a pilot standing in a cage. By the way, if you're a child or a young child listening to the show, I'm not being facetious now. I'd ask parents to remove children from the area where this radio can be, the broadcast can be heard. This is not a joke. This is not a video game. This is not Harvey Weinstein's latest movie. No, it shows a pilot standing in a cage with a line of fuel leading to him, which is then ignited, causing him to burst into flames. Islamic State had previously sought to trade a vicious female piece of garbage, an Iraqi woman, for her role in a 2005 suicide bomb attack that killed 60 people in Amman. Nevertheless, he was set on fire. Now, here's the only thing that you may not know. Several media outlets are reporting that Jordan is moving swiftly following the release of the video. They've transferred at least three imprisoned jihadists, including this woman garbage, and a former aide to Abu Musab al-Zarqawi in preparation to execute them. And they say Lebanon-based news channel Al-Mayadin reports that Jordan intends to execute al-Rashawi at dawn tomorrow morning. Imagine that. Compare that with Obama, who says they'll bring him to justice. You hear? See, Obama could use the vermin in Guantanamo as trades. You know, you do one more American, we're going to kill three of them. Nevertheless, we know what we have here. Yep, we know what we have here. So Jordan wanted to make the exchange. Nevertheless, the man is dead. In the video viewed by Fox News, the pilot is seen clad in an orange jumpsuit. He's speaking under duress. A narrator speaking in Arabic, not Nazi German. A narrator speaking in Arabic blasts Arab nations, including Jordan, for daring to take part in U.S.-led airstrikes against Islamic State. Now, again, they know who they are. It's ISIS, Islamic State. It's not an organization, as Obama says. He's already eliminated ISIS as an acronym because people are liable to ask, what does ISIS stand for? Well, ISIS is Islamic. It's not crisis because it's not the Christian state. As I said earlier, it's not JISIS. It's not the Jewish state setting people alive. It's not BISIS because it's not Buddhist setting people alive. It's not HISIS because it's not Hindu setting people alive. No, it's ISIS. It's Islamics setting people alive. The final 5 minutes of the video show the caged pilot is clothing apparently doused in gasoline as the fuel is lit by the practitioners of the religion of peace. His screams are audible as he collapses to his knees. After being burned alive, the poor man is, and the cage is buried by a bulldozer. The video ends with ISIS, Islamic State, offering, quote, 100 golden dinars for any Muslims in Jordan who kill other Jordanian pilots whose names, pictures, and hometowns are shown. U.S. national security moron Bernadette Meehan said administration officials are examining the video. They're still examining it. Now listen to the cold-hearted response from the lunatic who works for Obama. We are aware of the video purporting to show that Al-Qasaba has been murdered by the terrorist group ISIL. Read Meehan's words. The intelligence community is working to confirm its authenticity. The United States strongly condemns ISIL's actions, and we call for the immediate release of all the blah, 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 blah. We stand in solidarity. They think they're running a community organizing event here. Solidarity again. Marching arm in arm with Al Sharpton. So this is the government we have now. They do virtually nothing. The horrific footage surfaced just a day after top Islamic murderers surfaced, which showed that Islamic State executed Japanese journalist Kenji Goto. A week earlier, the vicious murderers. Well, do I have to go down the list? You don't know yet what it is? So the only new element to this that I brought to the discussion through my show on the Savage Nation is that it seems to me that the same members of the American left and the media who deny that ISIS is doing these things or look the other way are virtually the same fellow travelers as those who deny the Holocaust. It's very interesting to me. The Holocaust deniers and the ISIS deniers are now virtually on the same team. Isn't that odd? Odd how these things fall in place for you as you follow the bouncing terror. So now let's listen to our great leader who makes Neville Chamberlain look like Winston Churchill in his passivity. Listen to this statement from Neville Chamberlain Hussein Obama.
Should, in fact, this video be authentic, it's just one more indication of the viciousness and barbarity of this organization. And it also just indicates the degree to which whatever ideology they're operating off of, it's bankrupt.
Okay, we're right here to talk. Now, first he says, I have to repeat this till you finally get it. My job is to deconstruct the lies of the government. That's my main job. So let's look at the biggest liar of all, the man who's smart enough to become the leader of all the liars. He's such a big liar that he doesn't even work for MSNBC. He's the president. He's bigger than NBC itself. So now he says that it's not even a terror group. It's an organization along the lines of the PTA or the Trip American Association of the Advancement of Science. It's just another organization. It's not related to anything. And he says whatever ideology they follow is bankrupt. He doesn't know anymore what their ideology is, nor where they get it from. It's spontaneous combustion that caused their thinking or their actions. But as I reminded you in the last hour, for those of you who tuned in, if you study the history of the Arab conquest in the 6th century, it's the most amazing story of conquest in the whole history of humanity. And it was conducted by the antecedents of ISIS, who set people on fire, burned people alive, burned villages, raped the women, forcibly converted people, and they took over one country after another. They conquered Persia, they conquered Egypt, converted them to Islam. On and on, because they believed in the single sufficiency of the Quran. And when they invaded Egypt, they burnt the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library to the ground, as they are doing now in Mosul. That's right. We have not seen books burned since Hitler. But now the books are being burned by the friends of Michael Moore and the others on the left, in my opinion, because they think that they're doing this because we invaded Iraq, because the Jews took Palestine. You know the litany of lies that the American left engages in. It's a lifetime of drug use and a lifetime of lies and a lifetime of self-hatred that produces such insanity, because Islam is at war with virtually the neighbors anywhere around the world. Radical Islam. Ask the Hindus. Nothing to do with Israel. Yet they've been fighting Hindus for a very long time, long before Israel was created. Ask the Filipinos about the Moros in the Philippine Islands. They'll tell you a little bit about Islam. So it has nothing to do with Israel, but Michael Moore, Sean Penn, and the others, in my estimation, blame it all on Israel because it's convenient to create a scapegoat, just as they blame the Tea Party for Obama's failures to introduce pure socialism, because if we had pure socialism, there'd be fairness. No, there wouldn't be fairness. What you'd have is Venezuela, where there's not a syringe or a gauze pad in a hospital, where people line up for days for food. That's what you'll have if you let this insanity continue to rage across the land. But anyway, it's all interconnected. the passivity of the pedantic academics around the country, as exemplified by their dear leader, Neville Chamberlain Hussein Obama, are the reason the hordes are rampaging through the Middle East. Why do I say that? Why do I blame him? Is this just Obama bashing? No, the doctor is in. And I put a stethoscope on the world's problems, and I have defined the disease, and I know the cure. And the cure is right here. And I promise you that if you follow me, we'll have the cure. I know exactly what is wrong with the spirit of man. And the spirit of man has been poisoned by liberalism. Yes, the liberalism is a disease of the ages. Well, you get the picture. I'm not in the mood to go into this. The pedantic academics have destroyed our ability to defend ourselves. And at the same time this goes on, they know nothing about history because history is repeating itself right in front of our eyes. But the Muslim empire, if you compare it from the time when they first came on the land at the death of Muhammad in 632, and then you look at the world of map by 750 A.D., you see that the Muslim empire stretched from Spain through the Middle East all the way up into the Caucasus. They had killed and murdered their way through Spain and Armenia and Arabia and Egypt and Persia and Turkestan. And they didn't do it through the teachings of Jesus. They didn't do it through turn the other cheek. They did it through burn the other cheek. Boys and girls, it was not the message of peace. It was not from the messenger of peace that brought a billion people to Christianity. No. Or was it? Yes, it was. And what was it that brought over a billion people to Islam? It was not turn the other cheek, it was burn the other cheek. But you have to look at history to understand that history is being repeated right now by ISIS. They're not an anomaly. ISIS is not an anomaly that came out of the air. ISIS is a continuation of their antecedents who conquered the territories I just described to you way back when. And so if you want the world to go back to the 6th, 7th, or 8th century, then continue to be the ignoramus you are and take me out to the ball game with you. But I ain't going. Right now I'm going in one place, and that's to get a cup of coffee. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. All right, so the latest news on ISIS burning a pilot alive in a cage is that Jordan has just vowed an earth-shaking response to the killing of their pilot. Jordan vowed a strong, earth-shaking, and decisive response to Islamic State killings of a Jordanian pilot whose death was announced today, the government said. Obama said they're still investigating the tape. He's not sure if it's real, because you see, unless he actually did it himself, God forbid, or, excuse me, unless he actually was there, it's not real. Nothing's real to Obama unless he's involved with it. So, of course, they're examining the tape. Jordan knows it's real. But they don't know it's real. And the best they can say is a barbaric act. So I looked up the origin of the word barbaric. It's very interesting. Words are so important. Why would you call them barbaric? That's the wrong word. Because barbarianism refers to a primitive culture, savagery, savagism, barbarian, atavism, primitivism. You get it? Primitive desires. Adjective, uncivilized. That's not a correct phrase. You can't call ISIS barbarian. That's the wrong word. It's not the right word at all. It doesn't apply. In fact, if you look at the word in the correct place to look, which is in Skeet's Concise Etymological Dictionary of the English Language, one of my favorite books from the old days of grad school, you look up the origin of the word barbaric. It's phenomenally interesting. The closest you come is the word barbarous, and it comes from the Latin barbar, B-A-R-B-A-R, not Barbara Ann, but barbar, us, with a suffix O-U-S, coming from the Greek word meaning foreign, literally stammering, a name given by Greeks to express the strange sound of foreign languages. So all barbarous means is a foreigner. at the end of the day, a strange, uncouth foreigner. That's not the right word for the Islamofascists, by the way, of course. So the great college professor used the wrong word, as did the idiots who worked for him. Wrong words, not barbarous. Not even the right word in any manner, that's all. And words are important, because as people have said, unless you are willing to define the enemy, you can't defeat the enemy. And of course, he doesn't want to defeat the enemy. And that's what many people are saying, though. I don't see where any Republicans, other than this guy who wants to be president, Lucas Graham, whatever, Lincoln Graham, Lindsay, I know it's Lindsay, I call him Lincoln, him I'm not a fan of. But anyway, now they're going to change the subject to measles. That's all. You want to talk about ISIS, they want to inoculate you against measles. How about inoculating the world against ISIS? That would be better, wouldn't it? Let's take a quick call on the Savage Nation, line number 8, state your name, station, and topic. Go ahead, please.
Richard. Calling you from WABC. Topic.
All right, and what's your topic, Richard?
ISIS and the world as it goes on right now. This is sick. It needs to be changed. I am writing an email to you that I'll send shortly because.
Hold on. Sir, please, you're on talk radio. Just tell us what you suggest we do.
I think a detergent gasoline in their appropriate places would be appropriate. Now, you understand where I'm coming from?
No, sir. You're saying the answer to wiping ISIS off the planet is what? Poisoning their water supply?
No. You ever heard of napalm, doctor?
Oh, sure. Yes, the liberals hated napalm.
You understand where I'm coming from? They want to burn. They want to decapitate.
No, I hear what you're saying. Well, maybe Jordan will unleash some napalm on them. You know, there's an easier solution. They have supply lines with food coming into their cities. What if you cut their supply lines off with Gatling guns on our helicopters, on our Apaches? Why don't you just blow up their convoys bringing in food, ammunition, and such, and cut them off and starve them out? Cut the water supply to their hideouts. Why not do that? Because then you'd have to define them as the enemy. That's something that Neville Chamberlain, Hussein Obama, is unwilling to do.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Gasoline and polystyrene, very interesting. I didn't know that was napalm. Very interesting, just a little plastic version of gasoline. Since they like matches and setting people on fire, the caller said, fight fire with fire. Now, Jordan is going to do something. They said it's going to be an earth-shaking response. Let's see if they actually execute the vermin tomorrow morning at dawn, as they say they're going to do, to react to what they did. I mean, the Middle East, let's face it, they believe in an eye for an eye. They're liable to take out 10 eyes for this. And maybe they'll go to town on these bums and, you know, slow them down in their blitzkrieg. I don't know. I don't know who's going to do anything. We need somebody to act, because this one won't. He's interested in measles, that's all. We have a pedantic academic running the country, and you know what to expect. More of the same. There's no ISIS anymore. Now it's an organization. And they have no belief system whatsoever. Whatever it is, it's bankrupt. It's crazy. Just crazy. I don't know. I'm only concerned with national security. That's all. You know, it's always been the number one issue for me in radio. I swear to God. You know, the other issues interest me, but not as much as national security, because I feel without national security, the rest doesn't matter. Don't you agree with me? If we lose our national security edge, which we've lost under Hussein, then the rest doesn't really matter. It's as simple as that. Then all of your human rights mean nothing if you lose national security. That's why I'm so opposed to illegal aliens being granted citizenship. It's unbelievable to me. It's such common sense that I express that you'd think somebody would follow the logic here. Anyway, here we are. Well, do we have some sound that I missed that I wanted to play for you? Not on the measles thing. I'm not up to that. Because we know it's all a big lie. They won't talk about the illegals who brought it in. No, they're lining up with that. That's the big deal. I'll do this another day. Is there any other story that you'd rather me talk about? The thoughts and prayers are with the Jordanian people? That's the best that moron, Josh Dishonest, can come up with for the White House? You know, this morning I was on a Newsmax television show. In fact, I think it's, I shouldn't say when it's running, but it was a pretty good interview. Maybe this is the right time for it, Robert. We can start it right here. Anyway, so I was on Newsmax TV this morning. Why don't you listen to it and see how I sound? Go ahead and play it.
Are we in a war with radical Islam?
You know, I think that the way to understand this is there is an element growing out of Muslim communities in certain parts of the world that have perverted the religion, and they're doing damage in a lot of countries around the world. But it is absolutely true that I reject a notion that somehow that creates a religious war, because the overwhelming majority of Muslims reject that interpretation of Islam. They don't even recognize.
Yeah, well, then he went on to say 99.999%. Joining us now is the one and only Michael Savage, host of course, The Savage Nation, and author of Stop the Coming Civil War, The Savage Truth. Of course, that's his latest. He's got many, many more wonderful bestsellers. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Steve. Good to be with you. So what's the topic today?
Well, you just heard it. Of course, we have, just breaking a little while ago, earlier today, the pardon the expression, the savage, really savage burning of the Jordanian pilot at the hands of ISIS. They released pictures, they released a video, put him in a cage, doused him, paraded him around, and burned him alive.
Look, these are Nazis on steroids. And for Obama to say they're not Islamic is ludicrous because, excuse me, the acronym of their invented nation is ISIS, the first letter standing for Islamic State. Didn't say Buddhist state. It didn't say Jewish state. It didn't say Christian state. It's not BISIS. It's not JISIS. It's ISIS for a reason. They are interpreting their religion from the strict teachings of Muhammad. And they're conquering the Middle East the way their ancestors conquered in the 6th century, by burning, killing, raping, murdering, burying alive. In other words, through terror. This is nothing new. This is what's been done from the beginning of this religion. This is how they masterminded the takeover of so much of the world. Not through the love of Christianity, not love thy neighbor as thyself, but kill thy neighbor. What should we say, Steve? Anything else? Now, why is Obama not calling them Muslim?
That was my next question to you.
Well, I understand his liberal fears. This is the university mentality, which is don't call Germans Nazis during the 1930s because you're liable to get Germans mad. See? Of course not all Germans were Nazis, correct? But they took over Germany, and it was essentially a Nazi state, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
All right, so these people are more or less taking over the religion. So what should we do? How come the French, which are run by a socialist, dares call it Islamic terrorism? How come the liberal, so-called Prime Minister of England, calls it Islamic terrorism? But not Mr. Hussein Obama. And the answer is in his name. I'm sorry. His father was Muslim. His adopted father was Muslim, and by patrilineal descent, which is the Muslim belief, he is Muslim by definition. I don't know, did he convert to Christianity? So in other words, he's not a terrorist sympathizer, but he's soft on Islam in general. He's afraid of saying what's obvious to the whole world. And this is the problem. If you can't define your enemy, how can you defeat your enemy? Everybody understands this. Steve, go on. This was on the interview with that shady character, Fareed Zakaria, on CNN, who was basically as part of the government stooge brigade. And then it got even worse, Steve. He asked Obama, why aren't you meeting with Netanyahu? Did you hear that sound clip?
Absolutely. Yep.
You want to play that one, or you want me to just comment on it?
Well, you could go. Basically, he said that, it's outside of an election, it's close to an election, and it's inappropriate, and we don't do that. But then he actually said, he said something to the effect of, which I did play last week, even our closest allies we wouldn't meet with 2 weeks before the election, which insinuated to me that that's no longer Israel. Israel's not one of our closest allies anymore.
In my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, I wrote in the first chapter, Graduating to Treason, he treats our enemies as friends and our friends as enemies. But let's stick to this lie, the big lie coming out of Obama's mouth. He is all politicians lie. We know that. Some more so than others. I believe one day, if this country should survive this monster, there will be a psychological analysis of this president who is a pathological liar. The man cannot tell the truth. He doesn't know what the truth is, or he knows what the truth is, but can lie about it sufficient that he actually believes his own lie while he's saying it. So let's go back to why he wouldn't meet with Netanyahu. In his lie, he says, because our general policy is we don't meet with any world leader 2 weeks before their election. Really? Because it's inappropriate, Mr. Obama? Then why is it that you sent Jeremy Byrd, the Team Obama community organizing campaign wizard, who had you reelected, along with 173 other activists under the banner of V15, who are now in Israel undermining Netanyahu, literally manipulating an election in a foreign nation? You know about that, I'm
absolutely
sure, Steve.
Absolutely. And Ted Cruz wants an investigation.
Investigation? Well, I had a better solution for the Israelis. And here's the solution, that if Golda Meir was there, you know what they would do? They would immediately arrest Jeremy Byrd and the 273 progressive liberal Jew haters over there. They'd arrest them as foreign spies, and then they'd put them in the prison with the Palestinians they've loved all these years for a couple of weeks, since they are their natural blood brothers. Don't put them in a prison with Jewish prisoners. Put them in a holding cell for 2 weeks until you can sort out, you know, what they're really doing there. Now, you release them eventually, but put them in the wing with the Palestinians, because they've worked for them, they promoted them, they've said they're not terrorists, they said they're freedom fighters. These people need to be shown the reality of the world they are living in. They think it's a joke, they think it's a university, they think everything is a game, they think everything is a snicker like on MSNBC. Put everyone down with a snicker and a laugh while people are being set alive on fire.
Yeah, very, you know, Michael, I don't disagree with what you said, I got to tell you.
Well, Jeremy Byrd is the name never to forget. It was in the Jewish press this week. He was the one who got Obama reelected through his abilities to organize communities.
Yep, yep. And now they're in Jerusalem. Absolutely.
Who sent them there, Steve? Yep. Obama did. It's his Team Obama.
It is Team Obama. Listen, Michael, I could talk to you for hours the way I listen to you for hours. And I thank you very much. And again, everybody, the book is Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth. That's the latest. You could check out all of Michael Savage's great books. Let's make this, you know, as often as possible, sir. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. And God bless Newsmax and Chris Ruddy.
All right. Well said. Thank you. Okay. Michael Savage, ladies and gentlemen.
Savage.
All right, well, I'm back live, and that opens up a line at 855-407-2822. The big story, of course, is the burning alive of the Jordanian pilot by the friends of the American left. And Jordan now says their response will be earth-shattering. That's according to Information Minister Mohammed Momani, he said on Jordanian television, while the army and government vowed to avenge the pilot's murder. Now, let's see if the eye for an eye mentality of the Middle East is actually carried out. I hope so. I pray the Jordanians unite behind the king, and I pray that their retribution be swift and hugely destructive to ISIS. I don't think there'll be too many Jordanians in the streets singing that we caused it ourselves. We shouldn't have been there. They won't be singing Give Peace a Chance. No, I don't think so. Not at all. So, you have to look at the origins of ISIS. The military warned Obama that if you pulled American troops out of that hellhole too abruptly, something like this would happen. He told him to drop dead. He knows more because he's a great commander-in-chief. After all, how else could he become a president two terms in a row without any background? How is it possible? If he can manipulate the American people, he can manipulate the world. They're as stupid as we are, right? Well, he pulled the troops out, and the rest is history. A vacuum was created. These guys rushed in. They're the old, frankly, as best I can understand, ISIS consists mainly of Saddam Hussein's old Republican Guard. You understand who they are? They're the Republican Guard of Saddam Hussein. Yeah, Hussein, Saddam Hussein. And they were waiting. They went back to their shops and their lives. Now when they saw the country had no military force to worry about, meaning the Americans, they ran back, they drove the Iraqi army off their tanks and out of their APCs and seized their weapons. And now this is the new Saddam Hussein army, by the way. Only there isn't even a Saddam Hussein to control them. You understand that? This is the naked face of Islamic terrorism when it has no controls over it. This is the naked face of the aggression that is under the surface. Now you say, well, where are the moderate Muslims? The answer is in Jordan. Okay, let me answer that question for you right now. The moderate Muslims are in Jordan. The pilot was Muslim. Let's not forget that. Let's not get crazy here altogether. They killed a moderate Muslim pilot who was trying to, you know, defeat them. And the King Hussein of Jordan is a Muslim. Jordan is a Muslim nation. So these are the moderate Muslims. And they will be fighting the good fight against the evil radicals, doing the work of the devil himself. But let's not forget Hillary's proclamation in the recent past. Robert, you have to dig this up. I don't know if you have it, where she said we should empathize with our enemies, that we need to understand them. I don't know if you can find it on the fly here. This is what Hillary Clinton said not too long ago, is that we should try to empathize with our enemies. We need to understand them. I don't think Robert could find it. It's too much pressure on the kid. I'll give him a nervous breakdown because, well, anyway. So Fox News is reporting this, rightly so. I don't know if the other networks are making a big story out of this, because the MSM, if they do, will bring shame upon their dear leader. And that's why idiots like liberals out there still believe in global warming, even though there's no science backing it whatsoever. They believe that the science is in. ISIS is not committing any atrocities because Obama says that they're not even Islamic. So the Holocaust deniers on the left and in the Islamic world are now the ISIS deniers. The phone number here is 855, I don't know the number, 855-400-728 to 855-400-SAVAGE. We have it at all? No, I don't think so. ISIS just burnt a man alive, just burnt them alive, just burnt the man alive in a cage. And here is what your potential future president had to say about our worst enemy not too long ago. See if you can play it, Robert.
This is what we call smart power, using every possible tool and partner to advance peace and security, leaving no one on the sidelines, showing respect even for one's enemies, to understand and insofar as psychologically possible, empathize with their perspective and point of view.
I'm speechless. God forbid this woman ever becomes president. God save us. If you think Obama was bad or is bad, you have no idea how much worse it's going to get under this woman. Empathize with our enemies? How much more insane can you get than this? Why doesn't someone ask Hillary Clinton, do you still stand by your words we should empathize with ISIS while they set a man afire? I'd like to hear an answer once. I doubt very much that Fareed Zakariya will ask that question. Something tells me Bug Eyes won't ask that question. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So Impetus turns on Israel, and now Impetus is putting out feelers to North Korea. I mean, I don't know what's coming next from Impetus. Impotus could possibly suggest a beer summit with ISIS to reconcile their differences. Does that make sense, Robert? A beer summit with ISIS? I know they don't drink, but that wouldn't. They could drink coffee or tea. Cafe Arabica could be served. He could have beer and pizza. Impetus would do that. Impetus, president of the United, you have to read the acronym, POTUS, Impotus, it's a joke. When it comes to foreign policy, I don't think it's such a bad joke, by the way. No, not indeed. I can't believe there's only 50 seconds left. It's impossible to believe. Remember what I taught you today. The Holocaust deniers are now the ISIS deniers. They're one and the same. Whether it be the government jesters on television who will make light of the burning alive tonight with jokes and blame it on Bush. That would be Bill Maher, Colbert, whoever he really is, and that other one whose name I forget, Stewart. Government jesters are now in league with the Holocaust deniers and the ISIS deniers. Meanwhile, the vicious, pedantic academics who run America will tell you that it has nothing to do with Islam and what their distorted ideology is. But remember what I said, it's not crisis because it's not Christians. It's not Jesus because it's not Jewish. And it's not Bisis because it's not Buddhists. It's ISIS. Never forget that. And they burnt a man alive today in a cage.
Savage.